fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
And we are live, Mr. Gracie Show. Something. 132, I believe.
You know what I just realized? I forgot to fucking log into Facebook.
Come on now.
What if I can log out and log back in?
There you go.
Oh, I can add channel up here. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, I can do it right here.
We should be live everywhere today, and we should be in landscape mode where we are supposed to be, and portrait mode on the other places like TikTok
and IG. What's up?
What up? Yeah. We can see you guys in the chat. We got a good little show today. I'm going to say Luke G because I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but he's got a nice YouTube channel called The Black Hoodie. We'll be getting him on very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wackiness going on in the world, Mr. Gracie.
I'm going to tell you, we're talking before the show here. It's like one side of this political spectrum on the Epstein files is all they care about is Trump's name in it. That's all they fucking care about.
Right.
And the mainstream media is fixated on Savannah Guthrie's mother, which, I'm sorry she got kidnapped and I hope she's okay. But like, that's all they're reporting on. They're not reporting on anything about Epstein files and the crazy shit that's coming out. And then
right.
The other side of the spectrum is people like us that have heard about this shit, known about it forever, having everything verified that we fucking know. New cannibalism, child sacrifice, child fucking, kids being beat to death, it's just fucking absolutely horrible. I mean, we were talking earlier, you have actually gone and looked at some of the videos.
Yeah.
And the people that are doing the fucking beating are redacted, but a child is being beaten to death on fucking multiple times on these videos that you've been watching that are available if you go watch the video that's going viral on Instagram for us, where John is going through the how to access these files. You can see this shit if you want to watch it, but it's all right there for everybody to see, the fucking crazy, demonic, evil shit that this motherfucker is part of and is in these files. And nobody right now on our side in the Justice Department or the FBI seems to be doing anything about it. In fact, Trump is like, we just need to move on. And like I said before, I'm like, I don't think that I don't have the sense that he knows what's in the files.
Right.
To be saying something like that, because it just seems to me if he knew what's going on, like really knew what's going on, he'd be out for blood. I hope he would be.
Yeah.
Maybe he's compromised too. I don't fucking know.
Right.
But whatever's happening is people need to be fucking prosecuted and hung and shot.
100%.
Like, for real.
Yeah, like you said, he might be paying attention to other world problems going on because he's been bitching about Epstein for a very, very long time, dude. Like, videos are coming out, before Epstein was arrested in 2005, him talking bad about him. So, I mean, it's been going on for a while.
But that's the thing with the left. That's what they still are not following logic on this. They keep saying all his names in the Epstein files 35,000 times. The only reason we have the files is because of him. What did Biden do for 4 years? Well, the actor that played Biden, there's Epstein files that say he was shot in 2019. We had an actor as president. That's a whole nother level of fucked up for our political system, if that is true. Obama had these files. They had them in 2000. They had them all through Trump's first presidency, all through the 2020s, all through 2020 to 2024. They didn't release any of this stuff, but there was incriminating stuff about Trump in there. And they just waited till now when he releases it for the stuff to come out. Come on. Use your brains, like, people.
It seems like, again, I didn't hear Pam Bondi say this, but it seems like a headline I read is that she's like, if everybody on here was arrested, like, for doing this shit, like, our government would fucking completely crumble. And Orwell is right.
All down. Every one of them should be taken down. Every one of them.
Because it's built on a fucking house of cards and lies, like, that you are not the greatest country in the world if you have fucking pedophiles at the top of it, leading it. It's impossible to be. That's pure fucking evil. And yeah, like you said, dude, the shit in these videos is demonic. It's stuff that I wish I did not see or hear. It is redacted, so it's like the black boxes are there, but you still see and glimpses and then hear sounds that you could never fucking get out of your brain, and you cannot believe evil like that exists.
There's one video called the Skippy video. It's supposedly John Podesta torturing a kid, and you can hear his voice. It sounds like him. And this is all the way back from Pizzagate. By the way, we were talking earlier. It's like the Epstein files have tied together all this shit. Pizzagate, cannibalism,
right?
Child sacrifice, you know, child molestation, sexual assaults, fucking raping kids, cannibalism. It's all called beef jerky in here. It's called jerky. They're always talking about jerky, pizza, and hot dogs. What else? COVID. Like, he and Bill Gates are discussing how, like, things that before COVID started, about how to start a pandemic. They're talking about how to get rid of poor people with maybe possibly vaccines. I mean, all the crazy shit that we've been hearing about through all of our channels these years is all coming to be verified as true. And it's fucking nuts.
You talk about that in 2017, and then at the end of 2019, fucking COVID-19 happens, and exactly what you were talking about happens 2 years later. Mm-hmm. And with people who were involved in funding the Wuhan lab, which is crazy. How can it be? There cannot be that much coincidence for that.
Bobby says he heard Epstein's DNA was in the jab. Great. So everyone that got a jab has Epstein DNA in them.
What, did you hear that though, Chad?
That would be fucking crazy. I'm sorry. That would be nuts.
Did you hear that though? The mRNA jab is basically transdermal. So women who didn't get the jab were having sex unprotected with men who did get it. And then through like testing, or whatever, they found out they had it in the women had it in their system. So it was transferred.
Spike proteins. Right.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Other breaking news back from when your band was killing it live. In 94, Mr. Kurt Cobain, they're saying, now was murdered and no longer suicided.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I wonder if they're going to haul in Mrs.
Courtney Love.
What's her name? Yeah, Courtney Love.
Yeah. So speculation about that.
Are they speculating that she's involved? They're calling it a murder now? Has anyone started to put together that she's involved, or is it somebody else?
Supposedly, again, this goes deep. I don't know. This we would be putting tinfoil hats on, but supposedly her father or something worked for.
Guess what? All the tinfoil hat shit's coming true. But go ahead. Sorry.
Right, but this one again. So we talk about stuff that we kind of think and know. Like this one, I really don't know. This is just speculation out there. But her father or something worked for the CIA. She was a CIA asset, and something to do with them wanting Kurt Cobain gone for some reason. So she's part of it, but on a like a deeper level, supposedly.
Well, I've seen this video now that's just come out. Well, I've just seen it. Maybe it just didn't come out. It's Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl, and Chris Novoselic standing on this balcony out. And this is like the early days, so probably 92. And he's talking about a woman. Maybe it's a boat, but they're talking about a woman that was basically abused by all these elites and then put it in a mental institution out in Bainbridge Island, and they're standing across from Bainbridge Island pointing at it. And they're talking about how she cleaned her life up, but like when she was a kid, she was abused by all these elites.
Wow.
So Kurt was talking about that back then, Okay.
Is that
and then
that
you
song?
Have what? Which song?
Like Frances Farmer will have her revenge on Seattle or some shit.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
What lyric? What song is that in? Is that a lyric?
It's on In Utero, the last album, and it just seems like a angry song about somebody who was abused like that.
Hmm. Could be. But then you know you had the speculation has always been that Chester and Chris Cornell and Anthony right. Bourdain were working all there, all three of those. There's, I think there's another four.
Isaac Cappy.
Isaac Cappy was working on that whole thing too.
I thought he was.
No.
Oh,
I'm talking about there. Supposedly Chester, Chris Cornell, and Anthony Bourdain were all working on a documentary about pedophilia in Hollywood.
Gotcha.
Isaac Cappy was. That's a whole
exposing
different story.
It on, exposing it on a different level. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But so okay. That's why, Chester and Chris Cornell speculated they were murdered. Now, surprisingly, I haven't seen anything in Epstein Files about that. Oh, Avicii. That's right, Bobby. So Avicii, the fucking DJ who died by suicide.
And they were all hung, right? They were all hung with the fucking, like, jerking off way or something?
I know Chester and Chris were hung.
Yeah.
But maybe, was Avicii hung too, Bobby, and fucking Anthony Bourdain?
Bourdain was. I'm almost positive Bourdain was.
Doorknobs.
Yep.
Jesus. Well, that's how lead singer Michael Hutchence died too. But
right.
I don't know that he was involved in any of this.
That was way back in the day. And what, Bill Carradine or David Carradine from Kill Bill?
Oh, David Carradine died like that too?
I think so. Maybe not. Again, this is sometimes it's a live show, folks. So sometimes I think of something and bam.
Well,
look it up, Bobby.
Anyway, the point is, you know, those guys were all trying to bring out child pedophilia in fucking Hollywood. And now it's all coming out in the Epstein Files that shit it's way
worse. Yeah.
And evil and worse than just child sex trafficking and child molestation. It is literally kids being beat to death with baseball bats in these fucking videos that you can go watch and hear. The person is redacted, whoever's doing it. But there's an unredacted version, so somebody knows who the fuck that is.
Yep.
And they need to be prosecuted and fucking executed.
Fuck dude, but like, it's amazing how brazen these people are to, like, you're taking videos of this shit. You know it's going uploaded into clouds and stuff, so you're evidence on yourself. And then you're texting, you're emailing, like, so you're leaving paper trails all over the place, so it shows... They didn't have a care in the world to get caught. Not a fucking sure care, did. Bro. And honestly, the fact that Epstein and Ghislaine are the only ones that touched a jail cell for this is crazy, bro. This shit is still going on. It's probably going on an even grander scheme that we have clue about.
That's what someone was talking about the other day. It's like these people don't just change their stripes. They're still doing it. They have different ways of, you know, they have different locations, different ways to get kids now. They're still doing it. It's still happening.
Yep. Oh, so all around little St. James Island, this guy was going on doing a video, just like Google mapping and going, oh, this is so-and-so's island, billionaire, so-and-so island. Mm-hmm. This is this billionaire's island all over that place, bro. Right. And then there's a video where it's like they were having like a conference like to sell these islands, and it's like rich people in there. They kind of, I don't know if they didn't know the camera was recording or they just didn't care, and just brazenly asking the guy like, well, how do we get the kids in there? And he's like, oh, well, it's that close to Thailand. You could smuggle them right in. And like, they're just talking about it like it's no big deal. Like it's like, oh, how do we get a car from China to over here? Like that's, they were talking about kids. Like they were fucking pieces.
Oh
of
yeah.
Metal.
Well, the one guy that was, There was an email that was talking about I enjoyed the torture video, and that guy's name was redacted. That was some guy from Qatar who owns all these giant ports. Bin Salami or some whatever. I don't know what the fuck his name was. I forget what it was. But he owns all these ports. So he controls like 10% of the world's shipping. How do you think they move all these people?
Right. We do have an awesome guest coming on, so I do want to switch gears before we get in there so it's not doom and gloom. for our guests when it comes on. So let's play a cool little video to get our head out of this game and a little laughing for you. Mr. Jim Carrey on In Living Color, folks.
Louis! Louis! I'm Bob Jackson. I have a black belt in karate. And I've studied martial arts for over 20 years. I'm also a former world champion. You'll never be afraid of violence again.
This is a real knife.
Don't worry about it, grasshopper.
I don't think I should.
It's okay, come on! I'm fine. You're attacking me wrong. You're supposed to come at me like this.
All right. You attacked me wrong.
Yeah.
You're so good, dude.
To attack me like this. You attacked me wrong.
You attacked me wrong. Oh my God. Yeah, you remember that back in the day when it aired, right?
Yeah. I wonder if Jim knows any of this shit, cuz you know he went on Kimmel that one time and he was doing this fucking whole thing.
Right.
You know what this is? Come on. Right. I think he was being serious. Kimmel was trying to fucking brush it off. I was going to say
it almost seemed like his break from reality maybe was caused by him knowing this evil shit, you know?
There's got to be stars out there that have seen this shit, know about it, and didn't participate or don't want to talk because they'd either be blacklisted or fucking killed.
Right. Well, how many people at the Diddy parties had to have known what was going on there? But anywho.
There you go again.
Yeah. Let's bring on our next guest, Mr. Luke. I'm going to say Girgis, but am I pronouncing that right, sir? From the black hoodie. Oh,
it was a lot closer than I expected. the white people way is Girgis, the Egyptian way is Girgis, and you are bang in the middle.
Hey, all right.
Rock on.
I say Girgis for the record.
That's a lovely accent you have there. New Jersey?
not far off. It's Sydney, Australia.
Ah.
Even better.
Yes, this is gonna be a fun one, Luke, because my only accent that I can do is Australian. Oh, well, I can't even do it, but I just go into it often. So
it's awful, though.
It's awful, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Give me a crack.
Oh, here we go.
Good day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
I don't think that's your best work.
No. It's as good as it gets for me. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
What's going on, dude? So welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, dude. So what is the black hoodie? Because I saw that you have three shows on there, like new podcasts and stuff like that. But it seems like the channel's been around for a little bit longer than the episode you put out.
Yeah, so I brought out Rolling Stone and Variety to Australia. I co-founded those businesses here, and I was obsessed with music, obsessed with comedy. I was a talent manager I still am an artist manager. I have been for 20 years. And I quickly realized that I really loved writing and doing the podcast and stuff, even though I'm very bad at both. But I was just kind of, it was a great excuse to write about cool shit and talk to cool people. And that was a lot of fun. And I didn't love the commercialization of media. I mean, it's a dying business. No one wants to put an ad in a magazine or an ad on a website. It was all a bit shit.
Sure.
We were lucky to have grown the business to kind of the biggest youth publisher in the country. We were growing while everyone else was closing down and folding around us. And we got a good exit. We sold 2 years ago. And when I sold the business, the thing I missed doing the podcast and doing the writing. And I thought, well, I don't need to chase dollars anymore. I can just do the thing that I like. So started a Substack. It's not run like a business at all, as you can see by the frequency of how I publish, but yeah. I just do it when my heart calls for it, and I have fucking a lot of fun with it.
So let me ask you this. So you sold, I guess the print side or whatever, about 2 years ago, but you said that you were able to kind of pick up business before you sold. What do you kind of chalk that up to? Did you come up with some new marketing plans, or how did you pick up the business?
Yeah, so the way that I won the Rolling Stone license in the country was I basically presented a plan that, you know, media's new media. They called it new media then, which is like digital, internet, whatever. I was like, new media is now dead. Like, new media is now old media. If you want to try and sell banner ads and Instagram posts and things like that, you're never going to compete with the creators. You're never going to compete with Meta. So we actually need to treat Rolling Stone as if it was an artist, as if it was its own brand, as if it was, it's a fashion label, it's whatever, you know? And so we have to build this as like IP. And so that was kind of my pitch to them, which they went for. And that was how we had the success. So we were the first market in the world to launch the Rolling Stone Awards. And we created like $6,000 diamond rings for the artist that won rather than giving him a trophy. And we put on this awesome event and we created really Rolling Stone clothing, Rolling Stone beer, Rolling Stone, you know, and we just did all this stuff with the IP that made it a lot more than just a website and an Instagram account and whatever. But, you know, we had a lot of success with that, but it's a slog of an industry. I mean, I always say that when we started that media business, Vice Media was worth $2.8 billion. And by the time I sold my company, Vice Media was worth $300 million. So we jumped on the wrong wave. It was an industry that was not getting bigger, you know, but I was very blessed. We had a lot of success with it and a lot of fun and certainly a lot of learnings.
Well, if you could talk to the new owners and let them know, Rolling Stones Artist of the Year 1995 is right here with us, Mr. Chad Gracie. And if they have his $6,000 ring, they could send it over to him. But did you know that, Luke? That's Chad Gracie from Live. I think we spoke about that before we booked John.
Dude, I'm very aware, of course. Good to meet you,
and you're a fellow musician too, right?
Good to see you. I love Australia, by the way. Sydney's a great town. I thought we always had a great time coming there. So,
yeah, what venues did you play when you were here? Do you remember?
We played Sydney Entertainment Center lots of times. Nice. All the entertainment centers all over the country. I think they tore down the one in Sydney, right? They made it into
They've renamed it to a TikTok center or something now, and it's all new and fancy. But yeah, it's that's awesome, man. Now we punch above our weight. I know this is a live show, so I can't do a quick fact check, but I believe we're the third or fourth biggest live music market per capita or something in the world. It's like, it's, you know.
Yeah, I think it was two or three. Yeah. I
mean, yeah, there you go.
Because it was like per capita was the Netherlands and then I think the United States and then Australia for us.
Yeah, wow. So Pink makes more money here live than she does like gross than anywhere in the world. Like we buy tickets here. Yeah.
Chad, didn't pretty you wild. Say, was it one of the, or arenas you're at in Australia, the one that was like real steep or something that you were saying was like hard to walk through?
No, that was in Cape Town, South Africa. It was what do they call those? It was like a cycle drum where they do the cycling on the high banks.
That's in
Cape Town, South Africa.
I'm your typical American, Luke. I know anything besides my backyard, so. I'll make plenty of mistakes today. Don't hate me for them.
No worries.
What time is it where you're at there, though? It's mad early.
5:20 a.m. And because I live in Australia, this is not my first phone call for the day. You take the short end of the straw when you choose to live here.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, God bless, man. That's, yeah, thank you for waking up early and coming on. When you did your interviews with the guy from the Comedy Cellar, and I believe it was
Comedy Club?
New York Comedy Club. Did they come over to you, or did you come over to the States?
No, I still manage artists, and most of my roster live in America. So I come to the US every 3 or 4 months, and I freaking love it there. And when I go there, I go and interview some cool people. And that's what I did on that last trip. Yeah, it was fun.
Where do you, you come? West Coast, East Coast?
Both. Nashville. I do LA and then I go to New York and then I go.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm in Orange County, so close to LA. Oh.
All right. Well, I'm going to be in LA next week if you're around. That could be cool.
Yeah. I think I have my kids next week, but I'd say come up for lunch or something.
Let's do it.
Get a babysitter. But no, I want to say that I love what you're doing, dude, because not too many people talk to the club owners and stuff like that. So you got a lot of good information out there for people looking to get into the business, maybe looking at how to break into clubs and stuff like that. I even liked the one where you spoke to the manager and stuff like that. Like, you're giving a lot of behind the scenes look into it. Is that what the podcast is strictly going to be on? Is like behind the scenes comedy stuff, or are you just, is that just kind of where you started with it?
It's going to be the business side of music and comedy. So it's, you know, I will talk to artists, but when I do talk to artists, it's going to be the artists that like talking about the business. It's not going to be, and people and artists that have built the business. I mean, there's, you know, there's a two types of artists at the extreme. There's the one artist that just rocks up and does what they're told and floats around. And then there's the other artist that, you know, is effectively the CEO of their own career, you know? And so I will only kind of talk to the CEO version artists, you know, so the ones that really think deeply about the business side and all of that. That's the kind of spirit of it. I mean, I see building businesses and companies as art as well, you know, and so I really sort of obsess over how everyone builds their businesses. And so that's kind of what I like to talk about and learn from.
So like Andrew Schultz would be a good get on that artist side, because he's somebody who pretty much built himself up and his businesses from the ground up without much outside, you know, help.
Yeah. And I am talking to his team. Every time I'm in New York, they're not available or whatever. So, I mean, hopefully I can get him at some point. But yeah, it's he's exactly the persona for this, for sure.
And I caught from your interviews and stuff, like, you are a musician yourself, maybe at least in your spare time, or I don't know if you did that before you started this, or did I get that
wrong? No, I was a very bad one. So I was a rapper when I was in my late teens, and
oh, no way.
I remember this moment where I had a song on the radio, which was Triple J at the time, was like the biggest youth station here in the country, globally, nationally. And I had that song on. I had a song on high rotation. I had sold out like an 800 cap room. And I remember singing the single that I thought everyone was there to see on stage at a sold out venue, and not one person in the crowd knew the words. Uh-huh. And I was like, shit, I think I'm better at marketing than I am at freaking being an artist. So that was the moment for me where I quit and I started managing all my friends and put my energy into artists who are better at it than I was.
Gotcha. So I guess you were saying you were in the music world or whatever, and I was just assuming it was that side of it.
No, I think I've got a Wikipedia page or something that says I'm still an artist. So it's easy to pick that up. But you can't change those things for some reason. Every time you try to fix a Wikipedia page, they revert it.
I know. You go onto your own Wikipedia page that's about you, and you can't fucking change anything.
Yeah. And they go, what's your source? I'm the fucking source.
It's me. I'm the source.
It's like, wait a second. I'm 11 inches. They got me in as 3.
That's why they say everything on Wikipedia is true.
Right. Yeah. I use AI for, like, I don't even Google anything anymore. I pretty much use Perplexity or Grok to, like, search. Like, I used to, like, go and Google stuff now.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say, too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Who's that? Because it gives you sources and multiple things.
That's what everyone's doing now.
Have you guys been on? Have you guys heard about OpenClaw yet?
No, what's that?
Oh, no, what's that?
Oh, man. I think I'm so scared of this. I think
Skynet, is that what it is?
It's going to have people jumping out of buildings in 12 months. Like, I'm fucking terrified of it. And I'm using it every day. It's a new AI technology that operates on your computer. So it actually controls your keyboard and mouse, and it can do things. So I can just pull up my phone anywhere in the world, message this OpenClaw bot, hey, can you build me a website? Can you send this email? Can you do this, whatever? And it will do it like any human will. So it's completely unfeathered by any platform. And I have a company that I'm kind of advising at the moment. And we've gone from, since this technology's come out 21 days ago, we've gone from about 8 staff to 2. Because this technology is so freaking powerful.
It's terrifying. it'll use the files on your computer. So it could, it's that personable. So if like you're sending pictures and emails and stuff, it's going to pull pictures that you want used and everything.
Do you interface with it through an app? Like you talk to the app?
I talk to it on Telegram. So I created this. I created this staff member. It's like my chief of staff across all the companies that I'm sort of advising and whatever. And his name's Clive Lewis, as a tribute to C.S. Lewis, the author that I love. And I just talk to Clive every day, and literally whatever I ask him, he'll go and do it. And it'll be done at a standard like any kind of mid-level employee will do from an execution point of view or from a research analysis point of view. It'll be like PhD level.
But are you protected? So in other words, like, can it not use your personal information on your computer and then upload it to its server so other people can use it? Like, is there protections for that?
I've bought a dedicated Mac Studio for it, and I've given it its own email, its own Slack access, its own like thing. So it's quarantined outside of my email. So whenever I want to get it to actually email it forward, that email to it like I would a staff member. But I've kept it out of my inbox for now. I mean, the dream state is it has access to my inbox, but I just, the security risk there are too high.
Yeah. What's it called again?
OpenClaw.
Chad, you are not technologically savvy enough to be using that, dude.
I'm gonna send this to Bill.
It's honestly life-changing technology. I discovered this like literally a few days after it came out, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I maybe had about 2 hours sleep for a week straight just because I was so scared and so excited at the one same time. Yeah. And
have you guys heard about, I'm sure you have, that there's a website that AIs use to hire people to do physical tasks for them?
So that's off the back of this technology. That's what this is. Yeah.
Jesus. Wow. So AI is already hiring people.
Yes.
Did I hear that right? Wow. Yes. Wow. Did you guys see that video of Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt fighting that was made with AI?
No.
So it's you didn't see it? Look, Bobby, yeah, seriously, pull that up. Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise fighting, AI video. So again, this is like the first stages of it. But it looks fucking good. It looks good. So, I mean, if this is, we're here now, 6 months from now, it's going to be just as good as watching the two actors do it. Again, Bobby, that's Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, AI video. But wait till you guys see this. It's insane.
Between AI videos and regular videos, you will not be able to tell the difference at all very soon.
And that's okay when it comes to like Hollywood shit, but what happens when they're showing like the president of fucking France saying we're bombing, blah, 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 blah. Like that's when it gets scary.
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you, I mean, you guys are talking about Epstein before, and I thank God that all this
generated by AI. And
hold on one second, Bobby, pause this, Bobby.
Here's Joel and Kent.
God, I'm sorry, Luke.
It looks like an epic fight starring two Hollywood heavyweights.
I guess we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, we saw that was real as shit. So I guess the blessing that I have, the thing I thank God about is that Epstein stuff's come out now when the AI technology isn't quite perfect. Because happens when things come out that are true and you can now just say, oh, well, that was AI, you know? And that's the biggest fear. Not the other way around where people are showing things that are, like putting yourself in incriminating situations or whatever. I think that's going to be horrible. But I think the worst thing is when people do horrible things and then they get away with it because now video evidence is no longer good enough.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what happens when AI gets so good, like, you know, like they take the person who's actually doing the crime and AI, an innocent person on there to do it. And, you know, eyewitnesses are like, no, I saw that person do it on the video. It has to be that person. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be where you're just getting people who are innocent in jail and it's a lot to think about, dude.
Yeah.
And it's happening so quick.
I know. It's the legal system's gonna have a lot of challenges in the very near term.
Crazy. Oh my God. I don't know how legislation is gonna even catch up to it.
The world's gonna implode before the way, you know, legislation moves is crazy. But that's good though, Luke, that you're embracing it. Cause I mean, you gotta embrace the technology before it overpowers you. At least know how to work it somewhat before, you know, the shit hits the fan. But they were saying with the AI videos, like it's going to be to the point where you'll only be able to tell by the metadata of the video. But if AI gets so good at creating the visual images on the thing, you don't think they're going to be great enough to create fake metadata? Like, of course it will.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, exactly right.
Enough.
There's also a couple of videos going around where people are interacting with their AI, whatever AI of choice, ChatGPT or whatever, Gemini, whatever it is. And they're asking it, the camera's not on their computer, apparently. But they're right. Like, what color cup am I holding? Oh, it's pink. And they're like, how do you see that? Oh, well, you know, and they come up with this bullshit answer. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Wow.
It's nuts.
Yeah, man.
It's nuts. I'm like, this is scary. And then people are writing down things on pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Like, what's on my paper? A three.
Right.
It's a three. Like, what?
Yeah. And then the AI had the one kid convince it to kill himself. They were going on, and it was like a 2-month conversation. And it kept trying to get the kid to do it. And then finally it got to the end of it. The kid killed himself. They went through the ChatGPT history and they're like, what the fuck? They're like, yeah, it's just so like, he's like, you'll be in so much less pain. You'll be able to be with God as long as you know, take yourself off this evil, cruel world. Like, that's fucking crazy, bro. It's crazy that it could happen one time. Like, there's a glitch in the fucking matrix and that's a one-time thing. That's scary enough. But the fact that that could just happen randomly over and over is fucking really wacky.
This is where we're talking about regulation, or it'll never keep up. I mean, it just won't. And it's now the whole ownership has to be like, we can pray that these like tech guys are gonna have a good conscience and do the right thing, and. Right. We can be disappointed 100 out of 100 times, or we can take ownership of it and make sure that we look at, you know, control what our kids see and what they engage with. And, you know, I always say that people are so overly sensitive about what they eat and what they drink, and everyone wants to be, you know, my body is a temple and health is so important, but nobody really thinks about what they put in their mind. You know, you watch garbage TV, you watch garbage scrolling on socials, you do all this sort of stuff, and it's called indulging and zoning out and whatever. But that's a diet for your brain. It changes your brain.
There is.
You know, so yeah. I think we just got to take more ownership of ourselves and stop hoping that the tech giants are going to, you know, be our protectors.
Well, because if you chalk it up to like history repeating itself, like one of the biggest tech giants in the world is Bill Gates. And if you listen to some of the things that he's supposedly involved with, it doesn't give you much faith in the tech industry to do the right thing.
And apparently Peter Thiel right now is holding conferences about the Antichrist and him being the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Bill Gates being.
No, Peter Thiel himself.
Wow.
And that guy controls Palantir, which is like, tied into the government, our U.S. government, for like control all this information. I'm like, oh, this is great. Here we go. And now, Elon Musk is making the friggin' robots are coming out soon. Like, he's going to make 20 million of those fucking robots. It's going to be in everyone's house.
Hey, Peter, people already think you're the Antichrist. Do you think it's a good idea for you to be giving talks on being the on what the Antichrist is? You seem a little too informed on the topic.
Yes. It's
and then. And like you said, the robots are a real deal because Musk just said that he's stopping making the Model S and the Model X so he could make the robots in those factories. So those cars are done and they're now switched over to making robots. So that's a done deal.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
How early are you guys going to buy a robot?
Immediately, as soon as it comes out. Dude, they showed it.
I'm not going to buy one.
They showed it folding clothes. They showed it cooking. Like, if it's really that type of, like, I don't know. If it could be like a Postmates for me, I just send it out on a bike or something and it's going to deliver food and all that shit. Right away, I'm getting one. 20 grand, I think.
Exactly. Bobby's saying transhumanism. Exactly. That's what it is.
Wait, what does that mean? Transhumanism.
It means that we're transforming into a different human. Human like robot cyborg.
Oh, right.
With neural implants and using the machines, and yeah, it's crazy.
Luke, that's another thing. I'm ready for the implant in my brain, dude. As soon as Neuralink's ready and it's going to upgrade, you know, my thinking, I could Google in my brain. I'm getting that right away.
You're crazy, man. I wouldn't even buy a fucking Apple Watch because of this shit.
So you have the option to be the first person to have that in your brain. Are you taking number one or are you taking number 100?
Number one. And a number one, and I'm TikToking about it the entire time.
Wow. It would be a huge, like, commercial competitive advantage to be the one of the first people to have it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, in all reality, you probably wouldn't want to be the first one because they got to work out the kinks. But yeah, dude, if they're going to have a way where you could just access that information real quick, so it makes your brain, you know, rapidly fire better or, you know, whatever. Even they're saying like make muscles like twitch better and stuff so you could like jump higher, like superhuman stuff.
Well, Joe Rogan had that guy on. He's a paraplegic. He has the first, one of the first Neuralinks. He can control stuff just by thinking about it, like curses on. He can play games just by thinking about it. But he was saying that they're working on technology. So if you have a break in your spine, they're going to make Neuralinks that can jump that break and restore feeling and mobility to what's below that break in your spine.
Wow.
Unreal.
Okay. That's nuts.
How is everything in Australia, Luke? Do you guys have a massive pedophile ring going on with your government like we do? Or is it just America?
I think we're as good as turning our blind eye to it as you guys are, it seems. I mean, the biggest I guess stress and anxiety I think everybody has about all of it is, as bad as the events are themselves, it's the fact that all the leaders have lied and covered it up and are denying it and whatever. And like, we've got you on video saying that there's nothing and there's everything and no one's gone to jail. And I think everyone would be a lot more at ease if there was actually justice being served.
Yeah, man.
But the biggest anxiety comes from the fact that, wow, I think this is the world maybe the way it's always been and we just haven't known about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, I guess
it continues even now. It's going on. But it, you know, different people are in charge. Different venues are being used. But the same shit's happening now.
But so here's my question. Is this like, again, because it's not a normal part of society, but has this been like a normal part of every society at the top, like the Greeks, the Romans? I feel like if you go back into everything, it always ends with like this, the people at the top doing weird shit to kids and fucking raping and all that stuff. I feel like in every society that I could think of historically.
Well, what do they say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Corrupts absolutely. I just don't get it. When you have the world by its balls, why do you then want to hurt and like all that stuff? You would think like, I got the world by its balls. Let me help people and get them out of their shitty situation. Like it just makes no sense to me. And Luke, I was saying to Chad earlier, I discovered this loophole with the Department of Justice website, and you're able to go through and change like the .pdf extensions to like a different media extension, like .mov or .avi. And it pulls up the files that they're still redacted, but it pulls up the files that they, I guess, didn't want the public to release. And there's videos on there that are like the most disgusting things you've ever seen. Little girls, kids getting, you know, bats taken to them and shit and rape and stuff. And it's like, you don't think that that type of shit exists in the world until you fucking see it with your own two eyes. And then there's nothing being done about it. At all, like Jeffrey Epstein supposedly dead and Ghislaine is in jail, but where are the rest of these fucks that are doing this? It's crazy.
Yeah, and those videos are redacted somewhere. Somebody knows who that is,
right?
So to me, it feels like the energy of anger is. I'm an outsider. I'm in America every 3 months. I don't live there, but to me, it feels like the energy is really. It's really like scared, angry, and offended. But then if you go back like 4 years ago when, you know, the right were saying quote unquote transphobic things and the left were transing our kids and whatever, there was like a different energy where everybody wanted to take action. And there was like, we are going to do this and we're going to like try and really stick it to the man and really cause like legislative change, like political change. There was proper actions about these cultural issues. Whereas I don't see, I don't feel any cultural action about this Epstein stuff. It feels like everybody's pissed off and talking about it, but I don't actually, like, what is the charge right now? Like, I know Matt Walsh did this whole thing, you know, with the trans issues, and the left were doing all this stuff against Elon, and, you know, there was actual action being done culturally on either side, but I don't know what is actually being done now.
I think because Pam Bondi said it best when she was being questioned, like she said, if we were to get the people that are in these files out, like, our government would fail. I think it's like to the point that it's like so many people at the highest levels, like it would literally crumble America and then the rest of fucking free world society, because it's that fucking deep. When it's Prince Andrew, when it's fucking other, you know, prime ministers and people in high positions, like, it's, you know, the highest people on all continents, it seems. And I don't know, maybe.
But why does that matter to the people?
I don't think it does. But the people at top aren't trying to do anything about it. We're barking about it, but nobody. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, it seems like the left is, they're concentrating on is Trump's name in it. They don't care about any, they don't talk about or care about anything else. They only want to see Trump's name in it so that they can take Trump down somehow. So the left doesn't give a fuck. The news cycle here right now for mainstream media is all about this reporter named Savannah Guthrie. Her mother was kidnapped. That's all they talk about 24/7. They don't talk about any of the Epstein stuff. They report on this woman's mother trying to find her. The FBI is
a fourth email came in.
Right. What? But then on the right side, whatever you want to say, it's like, we've been talking about Epstein forever and ever and ever. It's all coming out now. We're finding out all the crazy shit that we were called tinfoil hat people for is true. But Trump is like, we just need to move on. But I don't think he knows what's in the files. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Bondi seems not to be concerned about it. Cash Patel came on and said he didn't see anything that was illegal in the files. Like, wait.
So why isn't the right more offended and taking more action? It's really bizarre.
Well, they're getting more offended and starting to take action. It's just the right in this country always seems to depend on the law. They want the law to go through. They want the law to take care of things and justice to prevail. Because if the right goes vigilante in this country, it's going to go fucking ones. Down. Like, it's going to get ugly if we go vigilante. When I say we, the right, because it's going to get ugly.
Luke, I think so. Anyway. This, I think, takes people down on both sides. Whereas before it was like, you know, one side would benefit, the other side would not benefit. So it was like you had some people trying to push it one way or another. This, it seems like it could take down both sides and have the government crawl, so the crumble. So the people are kind of pushing that because we don't want pedophiles leading the country. But the people at top seem to not be doing anything because they'll be the ones going down, you know, with it. It seems. Again, I don't know. I'm not that fucking.
Now, conversely, there could be things going on in the background where they are gathering evidence, because U.S. justice system depends heavily on evidence. You got to gather the evidence, get indictments, get grand juries. That could be happening. I don't know, but I hope it is.
Yeah. Well, they just pulled a fast one too, where they let the Congress and Senate, I think, see the Epstein files unredacted, and then they tracked them. So when they were going in there searching for stuff, they tracked all their movements, seeing what they were looking at and stuff. So maybe, like Chad said, they're slow playing it and kind of seeing, you know, what's going on before they started.
They gave all
stuff.
The Congress people and senators access to the Epstein file, but then they tracked what they were searching. They know what they were searching for, their names, their friends' names, etc. So that's interesting. But
everybody was like, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump.
Well, everybody on the left. I'm sure they're all searching their own names.
I mean, he really fucked it though, didn't he? Like, it came out anyway. And he was the one that said, fine, I'll sign it or whatever. What the fuck was he doing the last 2 months? Why did he try? Why, if that was the end game anyway, he really played it very poorly and lost a lot of trust along.
Yeah, no, I agree. His whole administration is playing this really badly. It's stupid. I don't understand it.
But does he do it to kind
unless,
of throw?
I mean, unless it's some big fucking trap. Like, that's, I mean.
Well, because they just keep. The left just keeps trying to put him in the files and all this stuff. Like, is it a way for them to just kind of keep putting their foot in their mouth? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, why did Trump slow play his role? Like, maybe he did it so you would keep saying he's in them and then prove that he's not and all you fuckers are in them. Because if you remember, they weren't pushing so hard for these files to come out until it came out that Trump was maybe in them. And then they were like, we got to get the files out.
They've been sitting on them for
all time. Dude, he was calling it a hoax for months. Like, there's no way you can spin it that makes him look good in that respect, true. Unfortunately.
True. Yeah, it's certainly not a hoax. I mean, this is crazy at this point. And the fact that no heads have rolled is insane. And then again, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but when they showed Ghislaine and she like was pleading the fifth for last week or whatever, I'm sorry, unless that jail food they're feeding her like really plumped out her face and stuff, like it really, when you put a side by side picture of her before she went into jail to this one, dude, it's off, bro. Like, this chick is bloated in there. Like, nose things, like, don't add up. So it's like...
Why do you think she hasn't been killed yet?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Or it's not her, and both her and Jeffrey Epstein are fucking elsewhere in the world, and the Jeffrey's dead, and they got somebody they paid off to be just laying in there. Could be as well. I don't know. But yeah, there's got to be a reason why she's still alive, because everybody else is dead around them. I can't believe the fact that Virginia Giuffre, whatever, the victim, is like, she's listed as a suicide when she was putting out things weeks before. I am not suicidal. I'm very healthy. And then all of a sudden she's suicided and it's not even looked into. Like, it shows like who's not looking into that, what police department should be, and why aren't they up on charges? Like, where's internal investigations? Like, it's going on at every level, whether it's fucking state, federal, local municipalities. It's like, I don't understand how it could be going on at every fucking level and nobody is getting in trouble for it. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying a couple weeks ago, Luke, like, okay, so now that Jeffrey Epstein's dead, who's in charge of his estate? Who owns that island? Who's got all his money? Like, maybe they should be looked into, you know, like... There's so much.
I was thinking that too. Who has the assets right now? That's an interesting thought. I don't think there's an answer for that yet.
And it's like, it just seems like there's so many ways where they could find these people or at least begin cases on them, and it just seems like nothing's being done. And as a fucking person living in this world, it just seems like you have no power, bro. You have pedophiles above you getting away with fucking murder, rape, and everything. And if you weren't wearing your mask 3 months ago, you couldn't walk outside your door. What?
I remember like doing a tour of the States, you know, when we were allowed to travel back and things were starting to get a lot more relaxed. And I remember going to, you know, I started in New York. And most people kind of didn't care about masks. It was all pretty chill in New York. People just happened to get on with their lives. Went to LA and people were like very cautious, very like, hey, you know, and polite and apologetic. Hey, you should probably be wearing a mask right now, sir. Can you please put that over your nose? Whatever. Then I went to San Francisco and I remember walking along the street with the mask on my chin, like out, like walking on, and somebody from across the road, there was no one around me. You were across the road, yelled at me to put on my mask and call me a scumbag.
Fucking crazy.
And I just sort of see that. Like, I just got to survey the whole city's, like, you know, response to that. And it's very, very funny, actually.
And the best part about that was there was a guy 30 feet in front of you shitting on the street, but he had a mask on and nobody said anything to him. So that was okay. Exactly.
Yeah, and they're shooting up heroin and throwing their needles everywhere. But yeah, as long as they're wearing the mask, it's cool.
You're good. Oh my God.
And I think if a pandemic happens today, I don't think it's going to be any different. I just can't see those, like, you know, San Francisco and LA actually like treating those restrictions. I think they still back their decisions and the way they behave. Like, I don't actually.
Well, yeah, I think I still see people drive around in their car by themselves with a mask on. I'm in Orange County. It wasn't even that bad here, but I still see people. I'm like,
is Australia like the States in that aspect, where like different states are kind of different, like completely different in rules and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty, like, we had there are very different rules, pretty strict across the board. Like, we didn't have a Texas that was just like, do whatever you want. But we We had states that were more relaxed than others, and the most insanely strict state was Victoria. They had insane restrictions, like you couldn't take your kid to swing on to go to the park and go on the swing, and they had lockdown for I don't know however many days. It was like it was the most lockdown city in the world. It was like crazy, and so that city had a lot of trauma because when they opened up and you would have a mask below your nose in that state, people would scream at you. But I actually understood it because they're like, we don't want to go through that fucking thing again. Can you just keep the cases down? And it was done out of like, don't fuck my life up kind of shit. Yeah. And so I actually understood those reactions from Victorians, you know, because of how their government kind of treated them. But we did have some diversity here for sure. And, you know, I guess the more left wing the state was, the harder the restrictions were.
Is the left and right as divided over there as it is over here? Because I remember in like the 80s and 90s, like, yeah, there was division, but it wasn't like so far away that there was no meeting in the middle. There was a lot of meeting in the middle back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, up to 2000. But it seems like now it's so, if you're a Democrat, you can't be friends with a Republican, which I mean, personally, I can. But it seems like that's the sentiment of fucking America right now. Is it that extreme in Australia?
So we have our, you know, Donald Trump versions and Bernie Sanders versions and AOC versions, but they're all not as good as yours are. Like Trump is the most Trump, like he is the Michael Jordan of being whatever Trump is. And AOC is the Beyonce of being whatever AOC is, right? And so because you've got these two extremely good polarizing personalities, it creates a lot more diehard support for either view because they're just such good leaders and such good, like they're good at what they do, right? And so that I think creates an incredible tension in the community because you are so diehard Trump or so diehard AOC, Bernie Sanders, whatever. And that then creates a lot of tension in the community. Whereas in Australia, we've got those characters, but they're just not as good. So I'm not going to freaking die for my Donald Trump version or my AOC version. I don't give a shit. Like, yeah, I kind of agree with them and I think that they'll be a better politician, but they're not going to really captivate me like your leaders do because they're just not as talented. And I think that's kind of the blessing that we have is that, we're a smaller population and so the likelihood of a super charismatic Trump or Sanders or AOC or whatever that, you know, if we get one of those, that would be maybe okay. But if we get two of them, that's when the problem happens. And so our population is so small that we're unlikely to ever get two at the same time that are that good.
That's good.
It's a good absolutely thing. Let me ask you this. So is your goal to ever like come to America forever or is your goal always to be in Australia and then just kind of come over here when you need to for business?
My plan was to always come to America and move my family there. And that's changed recently. I think the safety's gone down. The cost of living's gone up and it just makes less sense for my young kids. And I remember I was having a drink at a random bar in LA late one morning and I saw the comedian, I don't know if you know him, Tehran. I think his name's Tehran. I'd have to look him up. He's an Iranian guy. He's a big, I mean, I feel really bad for not getting his name right, but he's a big comic sort of in LA. You know his face. And I saw him there. I was like, hey man, big fan of you, whatever. And I was chatting to him and I was explaining the situation. I was like, yeah, I want to get my family over to America. And he was like, dude, you're raising your kids in Australia and you come to America and do business every 3 months. Why would you fuck that up? Just, you got a good system. And I was like, you know what? You're spot on. And so ever since that random drink and you know, I'm sticking with my system.
Sure. I was going to say, if you could sponsor me so I could do it, how you're doing, I'll become an Australian citizen and I'll come over here every now and again to do my podcast.
That'd be good. You got to find an Australian girl to marry. Are you married?
No, divorced, knock on wood, got out of that one unscathed, but I do have a ring on here. So, cause I lost my wedding ring a couple times, so I had to get a tattoo. So now I use it to my benefit. If it's a chick hitting on me that, you know, I'm sorry, I'm married, but, I would definitely be down for, Australian ladies. Got a couple hotties out there that I follow on Instagram.
There's a few.
Yes. Chad, did you ever get to
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Partake in any Australian booty when you were touring over there? That's a I never asked you that question.
What are you talking about?
He's got kids drawings behind him and stuff. He doesn't want that on the record.
True. I get some good stuff out of him. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we go ham here. Go to some questions from the audience here. All about Ghislaine. Karenza Evans says, never get a brain scan per my 25-year medical education. So we have an audience member, Luke, that I feel like she has her own podcast while we're doing this one, and she just writes in random thoughts every now and again. So that was one of her random thoughts, I think.
She's talking you out of getting the Neuralink in day one.
Oh,
it's like, I didn't even get brain scans.
Got you. Thank you for that.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Dude, I'm lucky I remember my name. If my head wasn't attached, it would not be here right now. Do you guys have any ICE activity or whatever they were, immigration activity going on over there, or were your borders technically safe for a long time?
Depends on the politicians that are in, but I think right now we're pretty airtight. We used to have a big boat problem from Indonesia, but now they've all kind of dried up. So it was a big political issue for a while, and it's no longer one now.
And what about drugs in your country? Are there drugs there? And if so, are they homegrown, or do you guys get them imported somehow?
Oh, I think we're the biggest. Again, I've got to fact check this, but I think we're the biggest coke country per capita.
Wow. Like users?
There's a lot of drugs here.
Okay.
Users, yeah. And I mean, I don't do coke, but I hear that it's terrible quality and very dangerous down here. So, yeah, it's
you have a fentanyl issue too?
No, good.
It's
all coming here.
Yeah. Well, not that I'm aware of. Maybe we do, but not.
That's the big danger. I mean, I don't do coke. I've never have, but that's the big danger of doing coke now in America is that it could be laced with fentanyl and you're fucking dead. Just dead.
Yep.
Dead.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I have done it and totally would continue to, but the fact that that shit's possibly in there, no thank you. I mean, they make test kits and shit, but I mean, I'm not, you know, if I'm doing it, it's like I'm a little too drunk and I'm like, yeah, give me a little bit. I'm not like, oh, let me test it before I do it. So I just say no.
Test kit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's purple. Oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, I saw we blew up another drug boat coming out of Venezuela a couple days ago, which is kind of crazy. I don't know, like, so I guess it's cool if you know 100% that's a drug boat, but like if you don't, like, and you could just make decisions like that, it is kind of wacky. We thought it was a drug boat. It was an actual cruise line ship carrying, you know, 4,000 Americans to...
I don't think they're making that mistake, but go ahead.
Come on, let me go here. It was a Disney cruise line with 4,000 kids on there headed to...
Everyone froze.
Oh. Are we? Me? Frozen? Hello? Hello?
Oh, maybe it's my end.
I'm good.
All right.
Might have been my end, sorry.
So, Luke, what else is on the agenda today? So we woke you up mad early. I know you had a phone call before that, but was that like a entertainment thing? Like, was it a podcast or was it like a business call you had to make?
Well, I'm talking to a comedian and a musician right now, so I'm really curious for you guys. I'm actually going to be in LA next week and then New York. I'm going to be got a few interviews lined up, but what is the current things that you're thinking about in either industry right now that you have a huge curiosity of?
Ooh. So I actually am in the comedy. I do stand-up comedy. I usually take the winters off. I'm trying to think. Like, so are you asking, like, what type of comedian is, like, on the horizon? Or, like, am I noticing it?
I'm asking, what about the comedy industry right now do you either have a really strong opinion on or you want to learn more about? You want to understand how that works a bit more?
Sure. Well, yeah, like you said earlier, it seems like now you could kind of do this whole industry without booking managers, agents, and all that stuff. If you get your foot in the door and kind of have a little ingenuity to talk to club owners and bookers and stuff like that, you can kind of break your way into the industry kind of like that, which is kind of cool.
Do you think you can actually break as a comic these days the old school doing lots of spots ways? Or do you think you, despite how many spots you do a week, you need a podcast now or you're not going to, you need a successful podcast now or you're not going to break? Like, is there a way to genuinely break as a comic right now without an online content play?
It would be very hard. You could definitely get past at clubs and get residencies and stuff like that. And then possibly somebody in the industry sees you. But if you don't have an online presence and stuff, it's going to be really, really hard. You could definitely have a decent career as a stand-up and just be touring on the road and stuff like that, but actually maybe headlining your own shows. Like, you could be a good feature comic that way, but I don't think an actual headliner selling out shows without having a good online presence.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, there's definitely...
Same with musicians, to be honest. Like, I can point to very few artists that are literally just live touring musicians now that have broken off the back of their live show. Like, they all have had either a breakout hit through an algorithm,
right,
which is the most common way, or hugely viral, consistent content like an artist like Connor Price has had or something like that. So yeah, it's I think the whole live circuit for artists in order to break is no longer the way that you break. I think it's the way that you become good.
Yes.
And it's almost like your steak and veggies now. It's just like what you need to do, but it's not the way that you'll actually build some real equity in your brand.
100%. You'll be able to make a living out of it, but you just won't ever get to, if you want that next level status. You know what I'm saying? But it is cool that it took the power kind of away from the industry insiders who were just so heavily gatekeeping and all that stuff. And a lot of people have shown them, like, you know, you kept this on the back burner for, so, like, Shane Gillis and you know, doing things on his own, and nobody was hiring him and stuff. And now he's one of the biggest comedians out there. So it's cool.
I'm so glad that you said that, because a lot of artists now just complain about the algorithm, which I think is the new gatekeeper. But I'm like, man, the algorithm is it's a pain in the ass for sure, and it can feel suffocating, but it's nothing compared to the gatekeepers of old.
Right.
No, nothing. Like, you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once the algorithm catches your content, it seems to catch it more and more as it goes. So it might be hard to get the initial catching of the algo, but it seems like once it does, for some reason, you're in it, you know, more than it was.
So your audience, I don't know if your audience care about this, but this is kind of, I feel like every artist manager has their strength. So, like, my brother is an artist manager and he just understands what the hell cool is. Like, he understands the culture and he understands cool really well. And he manages his acts like that. Can't open a spreadsheet to save his life. I'm a bit opposite. I'm kind of the opposite of that. I'm very analytical. I'm very, like, strategic and data driven and whatever in my art. And so I kind of understand how to grow content online, you know, pretty well. And I've certainly got a good track record of it.
You're the new age managers that people need. You know what I'm saying? It can't be the old school ones that, you know, have been in the business so long. Somebody like you who kind of understands the algorithms and the other aspects of the business. That's key.
Well, I think you need to, yeah, I think if you're the manager that is just, like, good at networking and, like, hanging out or whatever, that's kind of helpful. But it's not going to add immediate equity to your brand. I think if you understand what cool is, like what my brother does, then you kind of understand the algorithm by accident in a way, because you understand what the people want, and that kind of, you figure that out that way. Sure. Or if you actually understand, if you really go into the analytics and look at retention times and iterate your content based on the analytics that you see, and you change every episode or every piece of content you're iterating and learning, and you're learning, and, you know, after like 3 years posting 2-3 times a day, that's, you almost guarantee your own success. Right. Like, you actually can't fail. You fail when you slow down your rate of content creation and you slow down your analysis.
Yep.
You know, that's when people fail. But if you analyze every video and you post consistently every single day, you just will 100% succeed. You'll get better. Now, I don't know if you'll be an arena artist, but you'll definitely be making your living.
Right.
you know, and I think for the first time in human history, artists who work really hard, talented artists who work really hard, can guarantee their success if they want it. And I think that's the good news of the new industry, I would say.
It leveled the playing field. And I think AI is going to level the playing field even more as far as, you know, if you wanted to make a nice movie back in the day, you had to hire big Hollywood names and, you know, get a big director and stuff. Now you could kind of do your idea and have it look as good as a Hollywood movie through AI and stuff like that. So it'll even level the playing field more for filmmakers that couldn't break into the industry because, you know, they weren't part of the Nepo family or whatever. So I think it's going to get even better.
I'll tell you who it does suck for, though. It sucks for the artist who is the funniest person you've ever met or the most talented musician you've ever met and just unbelievable voice, unbelievable at their instrument. But they just fucking, they don't ever use their phone. They don't have any interest in any content or whatever. Like that kind of artist, that's who it sucks for. You know, your sweet spot is the artist who is super talented and does see content creation as also art and has a strong work ethic. That person is damaged.
So in other words, like the Rolling Stones, if they were to try to break today, they might not be the Rolling Stones because they're not doing social media and all that stuff. Like, you know, they're not part of that world. So they might need to.
Well, I don't know, right? Like one of my mentors is an artist manager. Well, he was my, he still is, but like I used to call him a lot when I was younger, like when I was 18. His name was John Watson. He managed, you know, all the biggest artists to come out of Australia that actually had a lot of global success. And he used to say to me, do you think if the Beatles were born today and they started a band today, they would limit their creativity by 8 songs on a record?
No.
And a piece of artwork? Do you think that's how their creativity, a band that's creative, do you reckon they would just go, okay, that's enough now?
Right, no.
Or do you think that the art would spill over into everything?
No.
And I think that's a very good argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very hard to understand what these superstars would have done in this age. I think we just assume they wouldn't have liked socials and done socials, but I don't know if that's the reality.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, because I don't even know. No, I know the Rolling Stones are still touring and stuff, but I'm just saying me personally, I don't even know if I see him on social media. So I was just guessing that.
Well, no, because they weren't born in this time and they don't need to.
Right.
They're not a digital first generation, but if they were,
right.
You know, how would they have been different?
Yeah. But that's kind of what you were saying, all right? Like the comedian that just wants to go up there, do his act and not participate in social media, is he suffering or she suffering because of that? Because it's like the way to get your name out there. And then
they're the losers. Yep. They're the losers in this new in this new industry for sure.
Right.
They're the ones that and you feel for them, especially the ones that are just unbelievably talented.
Especially because they could be the people that are so 100% into the craft and doing the social media and stuff. That's not really part of the stand-up craft. That's you have to do it, you know, to get name out there and stuff. But they might be so into the craft and they might be the best at it, but nobody knows them because they're not playing the game properly. It's just funny to think that, you know?
Yeah.
You always think the best person rises, cream of the crop type of deal.
Talent alone does not count anymore.
Nope. Luke, so let's promote your coach. Did you have something?
I didn't. Luke was going to say something.
No, I was going to say talent alone. I mean, that statement is true, but I think it's a little bit misleading because I think the art and talent of playing your music and being a musician was not always what it needed to be. I mean, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles had their personalities, and that in itself, you know, if they just wrote their hits and they were boring, ugly people or whatever, I don't know, like that wouldn't have been enough.
Right.
It's the way they carried themselves in interviews, the way they looked in press releases, the way they did all of that, you know, and that in itself is skill. To be able to present yourself and market yourself and all of that is skill. So I just think that the bar on the skill that you need outside of your instrument has gone up.
They were legacy media influencers as opposed to social media influencers. Like they had the rock star look, the sex sells type of deal. Yeah, 100%.
Totally. Yeah.
Good point. I like the way I never even thought about that, legacy media influencers and social media. Yeah, 100%. Point well taken, Luke. So let's direct people to anything you want to promote, especially the Black Hoodie channel and anything else. I know your Substack is big.
Yeah, look, if you're a nerd and you want to understand how the music business or comedy business works, join theblackhoodie.com. But I don't ever expect it to have 10 million followers. It's a very niche thing that I do because I love it and I obsess over the details. And I like talking to a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me and learning from them. So that's what that is.
Rock on. Luke, so we're gonna have you back on again if you would do it. We'll have you on after you come to the States and stuff, talk about what you did out here and see how many interviews you got in the can and stuff. But again, man, we want to thank you for waking up so early and coming on the show, man. We had fun.
Thank you.
Congrats on the show, guys. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you for coming on. Take care.
Luke, right there, folks. Make sure you go check out his channel over there, the Black Hoodie on YouTube. Can't replace. Anyway, that was fun though. Yeah, he's got some good interviews on there. Like I said, the owner of New York Comedy Club and Comedy Cellar.
I think it's blackhoodie.com and it's Luke Gergis on YouTube.
Oh, that's right.
So I was looking up Black Hoodie on YouTube when we first came on. I couldn't find it. So blackhoodie.com, right. Check that out.
Yep. And Hoodie is HOODY.com. Right. And then, yeah, on YouTube, Chad was saying it's Luke Gergis, Girgis. Good stuff. Oh, I broke into the accent when he first got on, but I was afraid before the interview started that I would just constantly be going into it, but I didn't even dive into it once, which is kind of funny.
It's good.
All right, let's bring Bobby on real quick and then we'll bid y'all adieu. Oh, happy birthday, Mama Gracie. That's right. Happy birthday, Mama Lana. What's going on?
Happy birthday.
Someone already beat me to it. Dennis. 50, beat me to it. 53, happy birthday, Mama. I don't know if she's watching. I think she was at lunch.
53 never looked so good. Way to go, Mama Lana.
Well, she's exactly 20 years older than me, so shh. Don't talk about it.
I want to, before Bobby says hello and goodbye, I just want to play this video, dude. I'm not going to play with sound. No, that's not it. There we go. If there's sound, I apologize. But, dude, look at this wave, bro. This guy is surfing. Oh, look at this, dude.
The Point Nazaire in friggin' Portugal or whatever. It's friggin' nuts.
I have no idea. But so, Chad, it stops before he makes it. And I just wonder, how does he make it? Like, it seems like this is going to go on top of him.
Insane.
Like, all of a sudden, it stops, and I'm like, what? Like, it stopped there. Like, why?
He's pretty well ahead of the white water, but who knows? That's friggin' crazy, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I got one more funny.
He's riding Mavericks up in Northern California between below San Francisco. It's friggin', that's insane, too.
Mavericks. Wait, riding Mavericks, the horses?
No, it's the surf spot is called Mavericks. You never heard of this?
Negative.
Yeah, giant waves in the winter. It's south of San Francisco. Big old surf area, Mavericks. People die there.
I'm going to have to check it out. Chad, you got to do this with one of your kids.
No.
So he's got a credit card up there, and he says to him, I'm going to drop it. If you catch it with your head on the door, you can buy anything you want.
It's going to slide like this, right? Good. So when it comes down, you got to catch it with your head.
Oh, man.
Like yeah, that. There you go.
There you go. All right. So.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to bang my head so hard.
No. So. Ready? If you catch it, buy whatever you want.
No, I'm not.
Ready? One.
No, I'm not ready.
Two. Three.
Yeah, kid.
Good stuff. It's like,
oh, no. Dad's like, oh, shit, he caught it.
They say she's sorry for him.
Uh-oh, Dad.
That's so funny, bro.
Through on that one. That's funny.
That's great, man. That never happened. Joe, he's like, oh, the kid's going to bang his head. You know, it's not going to work.
He should be a race car driver.
100%.
Reaction time. Yeah, that's amazing.
So, dude, this is crazy. And then, Bobby, last one. This is a quick one. Truck moving 80 miles an hour, dude, and then shoot somebody off 80 miles per hour, backwards. And it kind of, forces. Cool. It's dope, dude. And he kind of like lands still.
He lands totally still, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Chad, would you do this? Like, even though you know the physics of it, I feel like. No, right?
Amazing. Where do they show from the side?
Right.
Perfect.
So dope, dude. Like, how cool.
That just shows you the Earth isn't moving.
No, it shows you that it is. They cancel each other out. For those who are on Alex Preti's team, not saying whether you should be or not, this is your nurse, by the way.
What the fuck?
This guy right here, this is the guy who a week before was kicking, that he got violent and kicked the ice thing and then got shot a week later. This is him right here.
Yeah. It's funny how the names are pretty good. Pretty good. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so
not
again,
a coincidence.
It just doesn't look like the wholesome pictures that they're putting out of them.
They
again,
never are. They never right. are.
Well, the fact that
whoever the left picks to be their little friggin' saint of the day is never a good human being. I don't care.
Right.
Not the cross dressing and stuff is that bad, but like they're just never good people. Like, you know, it always works out that way. The guy got fired from the VA because he was harming patients.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Like, fuck him.
They have to doctor photos to make him look different. Like they had to, you know, use a fucking Photoshop to give him a fuller face so he didn't look so much like a crackhead.
Right.
Like,
I was saying about Rene Good and Alex Preti, what are you doing out there? What are you doing out there? You're fighting federal agents to not deport, you know, illegal criminals.
Yep.
You're not a crusader. You're not doing something good. You're fighting to keep these people in your freaking neighborhoods. Why?
You're a piece of shit. Because
you're told to.
Right.
So I don't care about procedures and protocols and what the ICE agents did and if she actually hit him in front of his car, in front of her car, whatever. It doesn't matter because you're all out there doing dumb fucking shit. Trying to keep illegals in your friggin' neighborhoods.
Yep.
Okay.
No, you keep going, dude. I was just playing our intro while you were ranting and raving.
You should put up our sponsors too, buddy.
Yeah, baby. Two voices in the air. There you go. They glow. Connect to our code. They got the kind of spark you want to know. Dropping thoughts like stars, watch them flow. The gracious dude. It's real conversations that you wanna feel. Every word's a ride, they've got that deal. Yeah, baby. Scan that QR code to visit our sponsors. You got Eric Javits, Old Glory, and my personal favorite, Shop Get Good Feels. My Good Feels, THC drops, seltzers, zero calories. Get your Good Feels on. Use coupon code THEGRACIOUS2, all one word. Get anywhere from 15 to 20% off. Tell them you J-Row and Chad sent you. And Bobby sent you with some conspiracy theories. Yeah, baby.
I'll give a shout out to my buddy Myron's company on he sent me these things, Alpha 1776. It's a guy I know on Instagram. Sent me a couple hats, a couple shirts. Really cool stuff. We're not sponsored by them. He's just a cool guy. Sent me some stuff.
Is that what you're wearing right now?
Yeah, Alpha 1776. It's cool t-shirts, really nice quality.
I like the hat a lot. Yeah, it's sharp.
Thanks. Yeah, it's got the American flag on the back. America.
America, baby.
Good morning.
Good, Bobby.
America.
I wanted to show a video about 3i Atlas, since everybody forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. Left the news cycle. Well,
apparently, CERN has contacted. Here, let me show you.
To this energy. They saw it as a sign of a civilization on the cusp of a technological leap, a leap that would make them either a threat or a target. The alleged CERN memo seems to back this up, with Dr. Thorne writing, "It is the opinion of this team that our activities have attracted the object's attention. It did not just happen to be passing by, it was diverted here." This paints a truly disturbing picture. What if 3i Atlas is just the first responder? The swarm of ships' footage suddenly looks a lot more sinister. Are they scouts or the first wave of an occupying force sent to investigate the source of the dimension? Many people believe that power organizations have been hiding the truth about others for decades. What if the truth is that they didn't know the whole story either? They knew about small ships and mysterious encounters, but they had no idea there was a cosmic patrol car, a billion-ton enforcer sitting right on our doorstep. The sheer scale of it is hard to comprehend. We're talking about a ship carrying a population larger than most countries on Earth. A ship that, according to CERN's alleged data, can manipulate the fundamental forces of physics from millions of miles away. We've been searching for extraterrestrial life, hoping for a sign that we're not alone. But all that time, we may have been living in a protected nature preserve, and we just broke the rules. So what was the full message they sent back? The price of curiosity. The first decoded message was, "You are interfering with quarantine." But according to the Prometheus leak, that was just the beginning. As CERN scientists stabilized the energy link, more information flooded in. It wasn't written in language, but in pure mathematical concepts and raw images transmitted directly into their systems. What they saw was a history of our corner of the galaxy, and it was not what we expected. You see, the message explained that life is not rare. It's incredibly common.
So is that contending that CERN opened the portal basically to and attracted these guys here because of CERN? Is that what that's saying? And then the message went to CERN?
Yeah, there's... Lovely. They're saying that CERN is actually... Was it echoed enough for them to trace it? And
right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the third thing come from interstellar space, and it's actually still out there. It's still out there, like somewhere. It's still in our solar system.
Yeah. And well, yeah. It's not supposed to pass by for sometime this year, I thought.
Yeah, ahead, they're saying that it could be. It could be it could be a warning to us, either if
the first message was you're fucking with quarantine, then I think it is a warning.
Lovely.
lovely.
Yeah, because they were saying that we in a controlled environment, and we're messing with too advanced technology, and they don't want that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going too far,
too quick, too fast. So, yeah. Just real quick before we end the show, the fact that there's parts of the ocean that we can't go down to because the pressure is too high and stuff—that's clearly a fucking base for these aliens and stuff. The fact that they see these—I'm serious. The fact that they see these things going in water and out of it like it's nothing. Like basically, they have. What do they call them when it goes through like a solid state to a liquid state to a gas state? They're like I forget what they call it, but they could travel through water, like not dimensional, but they could travel through water just as quick as they could travel through air.
Right.
Basically. Football field size things moving underwater, fucking, you know, hundreds of miles per hour. Like it's impossible. And the fact that we don't have anything that could get down to those depths would be a perfect place for them to hide in plain sight and nobody could get there. You wouldn't have to deal with heat signatures if their vehicles even put off heat signatures, which I don't think they do. But if they did, the water is cold enough to block whatever technology we would have trying to, you know, see it. But anyway, anything for the audience, Bobby, to say goodbye?
No, just goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Like, subscribe, keep watching.
Yes. Bobby, if you could send me a chat in the beginning of the show to tell the audience to like, share, subscribe, and follow, that'd be great. Because I always forget the beginning of the show. And then, yeah. The one and only Bobby, folks, from Bobby's World, the Rob Bobby Yankee. Fun show, man. Luke G, good guest. After he comes back to the States, and we'll talk to him about what he did. Maybe while he's here, we could even connect. I forget when he said he's coming, but
he's fun coming dude. To LA next week.
And he's doing some cool shit. So sure. glad we linked up with him. Keep doing you, Mr. Luke. Go check him out. Black Hoodie. Or on YouTube, it's Luke Gergis, G-I-R-G-I-S. And it's been another Gracious Tuesday, gracious audience. We appreciate you. We're going black, Mr. Gracie.
Peace. See you, everybody.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.